A mighty river flowing from your heart, filling every part of our being.
Your presence in this place, your glory on our face, we're looking to the sky. Descending like a cloud, you're standing with us now, Lord, unveil our eyes. You're the reason we're here. You're the reason we're singing. Open up the heavens, we want to see you. Open up the floodgates, a mighty river flowing from our heart. Part of our praise. Open up the heavens, we want to see you. Open up the floodgates, a mighty river flowing from your heart, filling every part of our
say happy Father's Day to all of our fathers out there. We have a couple special things. Sorry about that. We have a couple special things planned for our fathers. When the service is done, if you fathers, make sure you meet the ushers by the back door. We have a money clip for all of the fathers. And in the money clip, there's two knives and scissors, all right? And I've been using mine. It's very helpful. It's got a scripture verse on it. And so, fathers, that's a Father's Day gift from us here at 12th Street. So make sure you pick that up before you leave. Well, we have a lot of announcements here to go through. And let me just say, first of all, we have volunteers that clean the church and cut the grass. And they do a spectacular job. And so, if you are one of those volunteers who helps clean the church and or cut the grass, could you just stand up for a second so we could say thank you to you? We appreciate your work. It takes a long time to mow that grass, okay? There's 14 acres that we have out there, and every week the church is clean. You know, and we just take those things for granted sometimes, and I want to say thank you to those who do that work. Tomorrow, there is a group going to Shipshawana. They're leaving at 9 a.m., and they're going shopping. They're going to have lunch at the Blue Gate Restaurant and Bakery, and then return to the church at about 2 p.m. If you would like to go, make sure you sign up at the Welcome Center. Transportation, is the bus going? The bus is going, so you can ride the bus. and the bus has 44 air conditioners in it. Those are the windows on the side. So, also, the youth are going to Cedar Point on Wednesday, the 20th, this Wednesday. They're leaving the church at 5:45 in the morning and be here at 5:45. It will leave at 6, and then it's returning at about 12 o'clock or 1 o'clock in the morning. Oh, it's leaving at 5:45. Okay, so disregard the bulletin. You're leaving at 5:45, okay? So if you're at 5:46, then sorry, you missed it. Okay, we've rescheduled the car wash for July 28th from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. And so if you can help with the car wash, our last schedule for it was it rained. And so we didn't get a chance to do that. Nobody wants to get their car washed in the rain. And nobody likes to wash a car in the rain. So we will do that on July 28th. Deacons, you have a meeting on June 20th, just a reminder. And then on August 12th, we have an outdoor baptism. So if you haven't been baptized by immersion and you need to do so, that would be a great time to do it. It will be August 12th. We'll start our service at 3, and it will be at Ralph and Susie Balcom's house. And we'll have directions for you for that. We'll have a baptism service. We'll have some singing, some testimonies, and then we will eat. And the kids can swim or adults can swim. And we'll just have a nice time together as a church family. So the outdoor baptism is on August 12th. And if you would like to be baptized, please see myself so we can talk through that and get that taken care of. The Allen family is going to be with us on September 2nd. And they're also going to be here on that following Wednesday, September 5th. And so two chances to spend some time with the Allen family. And Life Changers is coming up very quickly. If you'd like to donate shoes, tennis shoes, either new or slightly used, we are still collecting those at the Welcome Center. VBS is coming up in just a few short weeks. And so if you're planning on helping with that, make sure you've talked to Brooke and you've got all your questions answered because she can answer them. And there is a baby shower for Nikki and Kevin Powell on July 22nd, immediately following the morning service. And it's a boy, so they're registered at Target, and so celebrate with Nikki there at on July 22nd. And for the rest of the announcements, make sure that you read through your bulletin. The ladies are doing a Bible study Tuesdays at 1 p.m., 52 Women of the Bible, and it's a very good Bible study, so women, if you're available, I'd like to encourage you to go out for that. At the Welcome Center, there is a letter that I've written, and then it's got a information attached from one of our the people that have applied for our assistant pastor position. Okay, the situation is he's very qualified candidate, great experience, but the committee doesn't know whether or not to move forward with him because he's been divorced, and we don't know how the church body would vote on that. And so we want to have an adult conversation. I told the search committee, I believe our church is mature enough to have this conversation as a church body without getting upset, without getting angry. Just have a conversation. And if the church says no, then we have other applicants that we're looking at. But we want to know, we want the church's direction in this. And so there's a letter here that I wrote that's at the Welcome Center. And then there's some information that is from the applicant. We asked some questions of him, and he gave us some information. So we just put it all out there for you to read. And we will have a business meeting on July 8th after the morning service, and we'll talk our way through it. And it's a discussion. I do talk about a vote there. Our goal is not to take a vote, okay? Our goal is to come to a consensus. And it needs to be pretty much near unanimous consensus. So pray about it, read through everything, and give me a call. If you have strong thoughts, that's wonderful. I have strong thoughts too. So give me a call. We can talk about it. And I want God's word to be our guide as we work our way through this. And the search committee has been inundated with several different resumes. They're sorting through all of them. And so we're just looking at who does God want to bring to be here at 12th Street? All right. That's all the announcements. Here's how I'd like to open in prayer. If you are a father this morning, then we want your children, or if you're here, you're a father and you don't have any children with you, then if you're here without a father, then find somebody. And those who are fathers, we want the people around you to pray with you and for you. Being a father in today's world is a difficult task. Almost every TV show mocks the father. The father's the idiot. The father's the absentee one. The father's one that's not to be trusted. And you know what? That's the exact opposite of how I think things are and should be. And so I think our fathers need the encouragement. So here's what we'll do. Let's just have the fathers stand up. If you're a father, you're here this morning, you're a father, stand up. All fathers. All right. And here's what I would like. If you're here and you don't have a father, then find one of these men and join up with them, okay? And if you are a father, then you can even join up with another one as well. And let's surround our fathers and let's pray for our fathers this morning, and then we'll continue with our service. Father, as we come to you, we thank you that as our Heavenly Father, that you're one that we can always look to, knowing that you have all wisdom, you have strength, you have knowledge, you have care, and Lord, that you are the great picture for all of the fathers. I pray that all the fathers here would be encouraged, blessed. I pray that as they have an opportunity, those who can see their children, those who speak to their children on the phone, that today would just be filled with good communication, that there would be pleasant memories shared. And Lord, I thank you that as we take time to remember fathers and to say thank you, that our Heavenly Father, that you are the one that we say thank you to, because you have created a wonderful plan that we all could be called your children. So in Jesus' name, we pray these things. Amen.
All right, stand with us as we sing The Lion and the Lamb.
Storm and tempest roar.
We cannot win this fight. Inside our rebel hearts, we're laying down our weapons now. We raise our white flag, we surrender all to you, all for you. We raise our white flag, the war is over. You made a way for peace, laying your body down. You took our rightful place. This freedom song is marching on. We raise our white flag, we surrender. Cross lifted high, lifted high. We lift the cross, 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 lifted high, lifted high. We raise our white flag, we surrender all to you, all for you. We raise our white flag, the war is over.
The king of my heart be the shadow where I hide, the ransom for my life. Oh, he is my song.
You're good.
never gonna let me down. You're 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 never gonna let me down. You are good.
You're good.
Good.
You're good.
Oh, oh, oh. You are good.
You're good.
Good.
You're good.
Oh, oh.
You are good.
You're good.
You're good.
Good.
You're good.
Oh, oh.
Be seated. Can we have the ushers come forward?
Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this opportunity we have to be in your house. Father, we thank you that you never let us down. We just ask that you just be with the gifts and the offering that's given this morning, Lord, that it will be used for your ministry. Father, we just thank you for being such a wonderful Father to us. We thank you for all you do, even though we don't deserve it. And we pray this now in your Son's precious and holy name. Amen.
So this is a song I wrote, and it's about when I was going through a really dark period in my life, and I pushed God away. But mostly it's about being able to look to God and trust him when we're going through the darkest parts of our lives.
In full bloom I look up to you, my roots are in solid ground. It's easy to see the things that you do when the sun is raining down. I am alive if just for a moment. I am at peace if just for a moment. I am alive if just for a moment. I am at peace if just for a moment. But summer doesn't last forever, and worship doesn't get easier when leaves are falling. I can sense a change in the wind, and it makes my heart ache to know a storm is brewing. But you are for us and not against us. If you're with us, then who can stop us? Before the storm comes, give me a glimpse of the sun, so above all the noise. skies. I can still hear your voice. I'm straining against the wind. I don't know if I will win. The thunder above me roars. What are you fighting for? Oh, what are you fighting for? What are you fighting for? What are you fighting for? Choking in these thorns, oh, I'm torn apart. I'm pulled by temptation, it's a dire situation. When you let the rain fall, you sure let it pour. I can't even remember the last time I stood. But you don't give us things that you think we can handle. You help us handle things that we are given. Before the storm comes, give me a glimpse of the sun. So above all the noise, I can still hear your voice. I'm straining against the wind. I don't know if I will win. The thunder above me roars. What are you fighting for? Oh, what are you fighting for? Before the storm comes, I will remember your son. In this deafening noise, I will still hear your voice. When I'm straining against the wind, I know that you will win. And when the thunder roars, oh, I know what I am fighting for. Oh, what I am fighting for.
At this time, we'll dismiss the children to children's church. I don't think this microphone likes me this morning. So, and as the children head out to children's church, let's take our Bibles and turn. We're going to look at several different passages this morning, but let's start out in John chapter 5. John chapter 5. Son was sitting at dinner with his father, and he looked over at his father, and he said, "Dad, are bugs good to eat?" And the dad said, "Let's not talk about such things at the dinner table." So after dinner, the father said to the son, "Now, what did you want to ask me?" And his son said, "Oh, nothing. There was a bug in your soup, and it's gone now." Small boy was at the zoo with his father, and they were looking at the tigers, and his father was telling him how ferocious that tigers are. And the son looked at the father and said, "Daddy, if the tiger gets out and ate you up," and the father put his hand on his son's back and said, "It's okay, you don't have to worry about that. We'll be just fine." The son continued, "Which bus would I take home?" The son tells his father, "I'll be good for $20. The father said, "Well, when I was your age, I was good for nothing." You know, being a father is a difficult thing because as a father, there are expectations that we have of ourselves, and there are expectations that others have of us. And then we've got this whole thing that we have to deal with God calling himself Father. And that makes a big pair of shoes to walk in, doesn't it? That leaves a lofty expectation for anyone who will take on the title Father to accept the mantle that God Himself proudly wears. There are 545,117 words in the Old Testament. And only 15 times is God referenced as Father to the people. Then you get to the New Testament, and there are 138,020. I sat there this week and counted every single one of them. No, I didn't. There are 138,020 words in the New Testament, and only 165 times. So you have a fifth of the words, and exponentially more times that God is mentioned as the Father. But of the 165 times, I only counted the times that were in the Gospels when Jesus said it. I didn't even count the rest of the New Testament. So there's a big shift that takes place in Scripture in the description of God. God has always been God the Father. But when you get to the New Testament, His role as Father takes on more significance. And this morning, I want to look at why that is. Why does God the Father, as Father, take on more significance in the New Testament than in the Old? In Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6, it says this, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given." This is a reference to when Jesus would be born. All right, this is an Old Testament writing, a long time, 700 years before Jesus was born. And then it says this, "And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father." So the son that would be born would be called the Everlasting Father. In John chapter 1, in verse 18, it tells us this, "No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him." So the only living person who lived on this earth, who actually saw the fullness, brightness, and glory of God in its totality, was the Son who lived on this earth. So the first thing that we need to understand about God the Father is that Jesus' coming in the New Testament was a game changer. And the way that it was a game changer is that the relationship of Father God to his children Israel is distant in comparison to the closeness of Jesus and his description of the Father. The Father came through the Son, not just in the message of the Son, but in the person of the Son, because Jesus is the Everlasting Father. Okay, if you're sitting there and you're going, "Wait a minute, this hurts. I thought you have the Son and the Father. Now you're telling me that the Son is the Father?" Yes. Well, if he's the Father, then how is he the Son? And I just have to look at you and say, that's just who he is. It's just what the Bible says. It's this wonderful truth about God that he is three in one. And you're like, "Whoa, Father, Son is enough. Is he Mother too?" No, not Mother. He's also called Spirit, the Holy Spirit. All three in one. God being Father helps us to understand the completeness of who he is. He is Father and Son, all rolled into one. In John 5, and this is where I asked you to turn this morning, John chapter 5, we'll start reading in verse 14. Jesus finds a man who's been unable to move around by himself. He's been unable to walk all of his life. And Jesus sees him and Jesus heals him. The problem is Jesus healed him on the Sabbath day. And so there are some people that are like, you shouldn't have done that. Don't you know it's a Sabbath day? And Jesus is like, are you kidding me? Really? You're going to be upset? And so Jesus doesn't just heal him. Jesus follows the man into the temple, and Jesus says, your sins are forgiven you. And now it's like, whoa, not only did you heal on the Sabbath day, you just forgave somebody's sins. Who do you think you are? Well, I'll tell you who Jesus is. He is the everlasting Father. And so in verse 14, it says, afterward, Jesus finds him in the temple and says unto him, behold, you are made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto you. The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus who made him whole. And therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus, and they sought to slay him because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. But Jesus answered them, my Father works, and that is why I work. Therefore the Jews the more sought to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal to God. See, they understood that when Jesus called himself the Son of God, he was declaring more than he was just an ordinary person who had God as their Father. See, the Old Testament understanding of God the Father was distant relationship. It wasn't the closeness of a father. Usually it was the God of Father Abraham, the God of Father Jacob, the God of Father David. But rarely was he even thought of in terms of my Father. And so now as Jesus says this, first of all, he's letting them know that he is the direct offspring of God, which means he's the fulfillment of Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. Where 700 years before Jesus was born, it was said that the Son would come, for unto us a Son is born, and that he would be the everlasting Father. And so when Jesus says, not only did I heal him, I forgave his sins, and here's the authority, I came from the Father. Immediately they understood he was claiming oneness with the Father. The second point that's in your bulletin, the idea of God as Father to Jesus upset the people, because if anyone was a direct descendant from the person of God, then they make themselves equal with God. No one else ever could truly make that claim, but Jesus did. Turn over to John chapter 8. This idea of Father becomes a sticking point with the unbelieving Jews. They get really upset at Jesus over this idea of Father. So in John chapter 8, and there's a lot we could read about his discussion with them about Father. We're just going to pick a few verses here. Verse 41, Jesus says, you do the deeds of your father. Then they said to him, we have not been born of fornication. We have one father, even God. Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. So again, Jesus, he doubles down on this claim, this truth that he is sent from God, that God is his literal father. Who is the physical father of Jesus? God. Mary was a virgin. That's why the virgin birth is a really important doctrine. And who is Jesus? He is God come in the flesh. His birth was a miraculous birth. So he's arguing with these religious people, and they say, well, our father is God too. And he's like, no, it's not. If God were your father, you would do the works of God. See, truly, if God is your father, you obey your father. God is not this weak father. Some people think of him that way. Some people think that God the Father is just like the prodigal son's father. Now, the prodigal son's father shows us an attribute of God. The prodigal son was the son who went to his dad and said, I want my inheritance now. Dad's not even dead, and he wants his inheritance. Son is not a good kid, okay? And so the father gives him his whole entire inheritance. The kid leaves, wastes it all. And the father's waiting at the end of the driveway. And finally, the son comes back. And when he comes back, he embraces his son, and he welcomes him back in and kills the fatted calf, takes a ring, put it on his finger, takes his robe, puts it on his son, and says, you are my son. The son's like, I'll just be a servant. It'd be better than the life I was living. And he says, no, you are my son. Okay, the restorative grace of God is seen in that parable. But we don't see the disciplinary harshness of God in that parable. Because here's the truth about God. Whoever God loves, he chastens or disciplines, even as a father who has a son that he delights in. And so, if God were the father of these unbelieving Jews, God would be punishing them because they lived in unbelief of his truth. And the fact was, their father, well, let's go down to verse 54. In verse 54, Jesus answered, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honors me, of whom you say that he is your God. Yet you have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say, I know him not, I shall be a liar like you. But I know him and keep his sayings. Verse 56, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. And he saw it and was glad. Then said the Jews unto him, you aren't even 50 years old. And you say that you've seen Abraham. Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. If God is your father, you listen to him. You hear him. And you obey him. The simple truth that Jesus shared to these unbelieving Jews, in all of their religiousness, a lot of them were Pharisees, and they wore these fancy clothes with these high hats, and they walked around quoting scripture. And Jesus goes, you're empty on the inside. You don't have any truth in you. You're full of dead man's bones. Because they didn't obey Father God. And so Jesus points out to them, the third thing that we need to see this morning is that Jesus wanted the world to understand the everlasting Father. So Jesus says, you've got your father Abraham. Because Abraham was the father of their descent. Okay, he was the patriarchal figure that they had come through in their bloodline. And so Jesus, he's speaking to them. He's like, yeah, Abraham couldn't wait to see the day that I came to the earth. And they're like, what? You're not even 50 years old. How can you possibly say that you knew what Abraham wanted? How can you talk like you understand Abraham in his person? And Jesus says, well, before Abraham was, I am. Now, this would really sting because when Moses was called to go to the people, the children of Israel, and release them from Egypt, to help them to be freed from Egypt, God met him in a burning bush. And after Moses talks with God, Moses says, who shall I say sent me? And God says, tell them, I am, has sent you. And so now Jesus makes the same claim that he is the one that was in the burning bush. That he is the ever-present, all-existent, never-ending God. When he says, I am. Isaiah prophesied 700 years before Jesus was even born. And now Jesus connects the idea of an everlasting Father to himself as he lived on the earth. In the book of Galatians, Paul describes the intimacy that we now can enjoy with God as our Father because of who Jesus was and what Jesus did. So in Galatians 1, verse 3, it says this: Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. And the next verse: Who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. So here's what Paul does in Galatians here. He says, it's the work of Jesus dying on the cross that makes it so that God can be all of our Father. He obeyed the voice of God. He did the work of God. We won't always obey. We will sin. But he never did. And so what he does is he makes it so that we can be children of God, where he can be Father. And how is God our Father? Well, it's by the work of Jesus. And in verse 4, when it says, according to the will of God and our Father, that's a reference of God, the one we usually refer to as Father first, and then and our Father, that's Jesus there and the work that he did. He is the captain of our salvation. He is the beginner of our faith. So how do we become these children of God? Go to chapter 4 in Galatians. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 3. Even so, we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Three things from those verses there. Number one, Jesus buys us from being guilty. The word redeem, it means to buy. He buys us from being guilty. We were enemies, aliens, foreigners to God. And Jesus bought us from that. And he bought us from being guilty. Secondly, we are adopted into the family of God. Now that's a really cool thought. He adopts us into the family of God. There are no natural born children in God's kingdom. Let me say that again, just in case you missed that. There are no natural-born children in God's kingdom. I've talked to people, they say, well, I've always been saved. No, you haven't. There are no natural-born children in his kingdom. We are all adopted. You either receive the spirit of adoption or you do not belong to God. I had somebody argue with me about this one time. And so I said, well, how were you adopted? They said, I wasn't. I'm one of the naturals. I'm like, well, show me that from the Bible. Because here's what I see the Bible say. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous. No, not one. They are together gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none righteous. There's none that doeth good. No, not one. And yet there are people that say they're natural born. Listen, if you're in here today and you think, I'm a natural born into God's kingdom, no, you're not. You need to receive the spirit of adoption. Third, God becomes Father. He becomes Father. That's why when Jesus spoke to the religious Jews who were unbelieving in him, he said, God is not your father. There are people that believe, well, God is the father of everybody. No, he's not. God is the father of those who believe. He is not the father of those who don't. He's the creator of all. He's the sustainer of all. But if you don't believe, he's not your father. What does it mean for him to be father? Well, in verse 6 in Galatians 4, that God has sent forth the spirit of his son into your hearts. That's what makes you a child of God. When he sends his spirit into your hearts. And then what's our response? We cry, Abba, Father. We cry out with intimacy. We cry out closely. Okay, my kids didn't call me father first. Okay, they called me daddy first. And I think daddy's just a noise that kids make. Or Abba was a noise that kids made who were Greek or even Hebrew. And then so dads stole that one. So look, they're saying my name. Now they're just making noise. But hey, feel good about yourself. But you know when they start calling you daddy? Okay, now today if my kids were calling me daddy, it means they want something, okay? And we've got this weird thing where they'll, when they are speaking factually to me, they'll be like, father. Like, where do we get all proper? But here's what happens when we have a relationship where he sends forth the spirit of his son into our hearts. Here's what happens. We say, daddy. You know what that means? All of our needs, we're able to ask him. He is accessible to every need that we have. And we say, father. Because not only is he close, but he's powerful. And he is the everlasting Father. And he can help us. In 1 John 3, it tells us that we are called the sons of God. The world doesn't know him because the world doesn't know us because it didn't know him. But we who believe, we are called the sons of God. So today on Father's Day, I want to call you back into a close relationship with your Father God. If you have not trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ today, God wants to be your Father. He sent his Son. He wants you to call on his Son. And he wants to put the spirit of his Son inside of you, adopt you into his family, so you can cry out to him with everything that you need. Rachel's dad adopted a little baby in Guatemala. The baby was found in a trash heap. And there was a missions agency that would find babies that were dropped off at the trash heap, and they would raise them, and then they would look for someone to adopt them. And so what Rachel's dad did is he paid money to the orphanage to care for Craig. And as he paid money to the orphanage to care for Craig, the whole goal was he wanted to go to Guatemala, pick Craig up, and take Craig back home as his own son to adopt him. And so after some time and after paying for the care of Craig, he went to Guatemala. And he paid money, he redeemed Craig, bought him, and he was given to Rachel's dad as his own son. You know, that's exactly what God the Father did for us. He bought us out of the trash heap of sin. He paid in full the price But he did it differently. He didn't shell out money. He gave himself. He gave his body to be broken, his blood to be spilled, so that we could receive adoption. One of my daughters lost her volleyball jersey. She had been on a float during the homecoming parade, and the bag got left on the bleachers. And she had a volleyball game on Monday, and that was on Friday that she left it there. So Sunday night, we're panicking because we can't find it. It's like, oh, we left it at the football game. So we drive over to the stadium, and we found an open gate. Thank God for an open gate, because otherwise I'd have had to climb the fence, and that would have been highly illegal. And so we go in, and we're looking, and there's no trash, nothing. Somebody had cleaned everything up, but all the trash cans were full. And so I said, all right, I'm just going to start digging through the trash cans. And so I start digging in this big blue barrel, and I start digging in there, and there's nachos and pizza, you know, and people just take their half-drunk glass of whatever, hot chocolate, coffee, and I'm pulling it out, and I'm setting it on the ground, and I'm halfway into the garbage barrel. And I see this little drawstring, because her volleyball jersey was in a bag. And I pull on the drawstring, and cheese drops off. And I open it up, and there's the volleyball jersey. Now, we got back in the car after we put all the trash back in the barrel. We get in the car, and the first thing, your God loves you so much that he let you find this jersey that had been thrown away. Because that's how much our God does love us. And you know what she said? Thank you, Dad, for climbing in the garbage for me. All right, parents, dads, our God came to the garbage heap of this earth to give himself for us so that we could have eternity with him, so that he could be called our daddy, so that when we had need, we could ask. So, fathers, no matter how old your children are you willing to crawl in the dumpster for them? Are you willing to get dirty? Are you willing to have the nacho cheese running off your hands? The pizza sauce someone has already bitten in? The chewing gum that they spit into the dumpster? Are you willing, and you sit there and you go, I would do anything for my kids. And I'll tell you why. It's because your God did everything for you as your father. And so as we close out our service here, here's what we need to understand about our God. He is the good, good father. And this morning, you know, if you're going through hardship, maybe you're in the dumpster right now. Maybe right now you're going, okay, I'm calling out to Daddy. Your God is an ever-present help in time of trouble. Your God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above whatever you could ask or think. Your God loves you. While you were sinning, Christ died for you. And so let's just get back to the close relationship with our good, good Father this morning. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I thank you that I can call you my Father this morning. I thank you for an earthly dad who showed me who you are through the way that he lived. And Lord, that he gave me a great testimony, a great example of how a father should live and how a father should act. And I thank you for all of the spiritual wisdom that he imparted to me. And Lord, I know that all of that is because my heavenly Father was looking out for me through my earthly Father. And so, Lord, I just pray that this morning as we close out this service, that we would be encouraged in who you are as our Father. And then, Lord, that those who are fathers would be encouraged to do whatever they can to be the best dad for their children. And Lord, I pray for the strained relationships this morning. I know there are some that are probably hurting this morning as they hear this because father and daughter, father and son may not be in a good place. So, Lord, I just pray that the redemptive work that you did for us would be an example to all the fathers, that they'd be willing to crawl into the garbage for their children, no matter how old their children, that they would be willing to get dirty to say, I want our relationship to be good. So, Lord, as we close out this service, just speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you've never trusted the Lord Jesus as your Savior, I'm going to stand here at the front. I'd love to talk to you about trusting Him. He wants to be your Father. And this morning, you know, if you need to make a phone call to your dad or to your son or to your daughter, we have phones in the office. Go make the phone call, okay? It would be so much better for you to take care of that than to sit here through the closing song. And for all of us, we're going to sing the song that He's a good, good Father. If you're walking in right step with Him, in right relationship, all these good things He says are true. If you're walking out of step, out of fellowship, hopefully this morning He's whipping your backside to get you back. There'd be nothing better for you than for Him to give you a good, solid spanking so that you come back to Him. And this, during this closing song, let's just do whatever our God would have us do. Let's stand together.
Stories of what they think you're like, but I've heard tender whispers of love in the dead of night, and you tell me that you're pleased and that I'm never alone. It's who you are, it's who you are, it's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am, it's who I am, it's who I am. Oh, I've seen many searching for answers.
Who I am.
Good Father, that you have never once dropped one of your children and lost them, that you have kept all of them. And Lord, that today that you look to us and you say, I want you to know that closeness that you can have with me. And so Lord, to you, to the one who sits on the throne and unto the Lamb, be all glory and honor and power and dominion, both now and forever. And Lord, I pray that fathers would reflect that goodness that you give. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The Lord bless you. Have a tremendous Father's Day. Stay cool.